Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Boys, I'm mellow as the honeydew. Yeah. That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite. That cat is high.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. It's a beautiful day in Brooklyn, New York, only to be made more beautiful by my two lovely guests here in the studio. We have, all the way from California, long trip today for you, we have Allie Ward and Georgia Hardstark from Classy Ladies with Allie and Georgia, Drinks with Allie and Georgia, and also Slumber Party with Allie and Georgia. Very, very busy ladies that are very, very fun to be around and very active in drinks and culinary, the drinks and culinary world. And I'm very glad to have you on the show today.
Oh, hush. We're so happy to be here. We just flew in from Nashville like 4 minutes ago. Yeah. Like, our flight just landed and our suitcases are in your studio, which is so
bunk. Awesome. But we still had time to grab a Fernet and Coke and a beer.
There's so always time.
There's always time for that.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Sorry, Jack. We're just going to have to delay it by like 30 seconds to grab a Fernet and a beer. Let's just start back at the beginning. You two have been friends for quite some time now, and you got started with like, as far as the cocktail scene goes, you got started with a viral video that went up about I would rather you explain it.
I feel like this is always the elephant in the room. It's like, let's talk about your past.
Let's talk about that
must
word.
Must we?
The McNuggetini word.
It's talking totally like about your dark past. But Georgia and I, here's the deal. So Georgia and I are best friends. We've been best friends for years, and we both had these day jobs, and I was a staff writer at the LA Times, and I would be there from like 10 in the morning to like 1 in the morning. And I would skip dinner a lot because I'd be working and we'd want to go get a drink after work.
Yeah, so I'd be like, I'm taking you out before you have to like go to bed and kill yourself and cry yourself to sleep. We're going to go out. So we'd go to our favorite dive bar, and it's the Roost in Atwater. And they serve popcorn. You know, they give you popcorn for free. So we would be drinking these cocktails and eating popcorn, and it'd be like, Allie would drink a lot of White Russians.
Because it was kind of like food. At that point, I would just go to the bar and order anything that had like maybe
some sustenance.
Like a dairy protein in it. I was like, just make me whatever is thick enough to resemble a dinner.
So we it took like a month, and every, you know, couple days we'd be like, what if we added this to this cocktail? And just kind of like McNuggetini was born.
We're like, how can we get horrible dinner and a drink and dessert in one glass so I can just go to bed and go do this all again tomorrow? And so we kept joking, like, and this is in like the days of MySpace where we'd like post on each other's wall like, you want to get a McNuggetini after work, like as a joke. And so it became this like stupid inside joke between us, and then one day we decided to just make it, and it led to us making like a culinary how-to video that was super tongue-in-cheek, because at this point the mixology scene had already taken off in LA. Like, I was at the newspaper, I was writing about cocktails, and
we'd go to these fancy bars and, you know, pay a lot of money for really, really great cocktails, obviously, but it was also, you know,
it was stuffy.
Yeah, they were dive burgers. So we were kind of making fun of it, not in a mean way, but in a playful way. And we made this video in my grandma's kitchen in Los Angeles with our friend Peter Tencio, who makes videos for Funny or Die. Mm-hmm. And it was just a silly, silly video.
Yeah, and we put it up, one of us put it up on Tumblr, and then a couple hours later, we're like, whoa, 200 people have seen it, that's crazy. And then by the end of the day, it was like 4,000 people have seen it. Like, you don't know 4,000 people. And so it went viral, as terrible things like diseases often do. And then but there was just something about it that was like silly and tongue-in-cheek and farcical that people kind of glommed onto. And then we were starting getting these weird emails from creeps in the woods that were like, I want to make you my wife, because like when you're on the internet, like that happens, which is a beautiful thing.
You know, that's how we met you, right?
Yeah,
we were
totally.
Like, hey, will you be my wife?
But we both were on GChat at our jobs, and we're like, did some creep who said he was like from Food Network try to add you as a friend? And yeah, me too. We looked him up on LinkedIn, and he was like an executive, like VP at Food Network, and they wanted
LinkedIn,
us.
The Facebook for professionals.
Exactly. So they
so creepy.
They said, you know, this drink is vile, but can you guys make actual like weird fun drinks that taste good? And you know, I had bartended, and Georgia had too, so we said, sure, and we did. And then and cut to a year later when we quit our day jobs. To do this. So yeah, it's been kind of, but I mean, the drinks that we make are fun and experimental and irreverent. Mm-hmm.
I love the show, actually. Like, after we met, I was checking out a lot more of the videos, and that's, you're totally right. I mean, you're not taking yourself too seriously. You're having fun with it. But at the same time, there are a lot of, I mean, obviously a lot of the videos and the drinks are like seasonal and like have a lot to do with like different holidays and whatnot. And the cool thing about it is it isn't just like, oh, I've got some pumpkin spice liqueur. We're going to make a Halloween cocktail. You actually do incorporate a lot of culinary techniques, you know, a lot of like kind of molecular and like kind of old school techniques. Like, for instance, like, well, I know your favorite thing, Ali, is to use a blowtorch on like everything. but then there was like the Halloween jello shot thing, you know, it's all like, it's all done in like such fun and like, but it's not careless. It's definitely like, there's a lot of like work put into it and it's cool.
Yeah. I mean, we're not trying to like belittle, you know, cause we're such huge fans of the cocktail scene and like done. And it's such a beautiful art. We love it. And we're having fun with it, with what we say and the way we do like present our videos, but we're not trying to, you know, just make these cocktails that mean nothing and that someone else has done already. We want to do something new that no one's done and still have it taste good.
Yeah, and we also, because we make videos for our cooking channel and for Food Network, we have to make it accessible. So as much as I love really, really complex drinks with a lot of ingredients and hard to find, you know, liqueurs and stuff, we have to make things that like are a little bit more accessible to people. So it's like, okay, let's try and do this in 4 ingredients with some stuff you can make at home. But it's kind of, the goal is to make a drink that you would want to have at a dinner party that is a conversation piece. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe not everyone might like a liquid cheesecake drink.
Wait, really?
It's actually really good. It's really good, but it's something that everyone will, you know, be talking about.
Tony just sent us some shots in the studio.
Is that vodka? What is that?
What are we drinking? Oh, we're drinking some tequila now. Okay, good. Cool. Okay. Welcome to New York.
Things are about to get super sloppy.
Cheers, brother. Cheers. I totally agree with what you're saying about, you know, like, obviously you want to have, in any cocktail, you want to have, you want it to be a conversational piece,
yeah,
of course, but, like, to use, like, no more than 5 ingredients is, like, you can, like, do so many really interesting and tasteful things with that. Mm-hmm. And actually, the first time we met was at the Tiki Monday.
Yes,
right.
Which we talk about a lot on the show.
I love Tiki Mondays. Yeah. Yeah. What's up, y'all?
Yeah, what's up?
You were drinking a fishbowl full of alcohol, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
The best part is that poking out of it were like 7 straws, only one being employed by you.
Yeah, guilty.
That was awesome.
But, like, you know, with tiki drinks, you have so many ingredients. And, like, going back to that, it's like, yeah, it's nice to just, like, kind of, like, pull back and use those.
Yeah.
So, like going back to some of those other recipes, like, give us some examples of, for those people who haven't seen the cocktails with, or the drinks with Ali and George's show, what were some of the other examples of drinks that you guys did?
My favorite was the umami elixir.
Oh.
And Ali hated it. We have really, really different tastes.
Really different tastes.
And it was we infused garlic into vodka, and we added a couple drops of truffle oil.
And dry vermouth.
Dry vermouth, and then we garnished it with a rosé, an anchovy rosé.
Yeah.
It was a really, you know, a sipping drink. It was like the dirtiest martini you've ever had.
So yeah, it was really like salty, really briny, and very umami. But it was one of those things where it's like, well, why can't we make a salty drink in a tiny, beautiful glass, and just, why can't we make a garlic drink? Like, who's saying that we can't? No one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is we always make it look really, really classy. We have this kind of vintage aesthetic. We have a lot of vintage barware that we love using. Just to make, you know, we're not drinking out of freaking solo cups or whatever.
Yeah,
it's nice.
Even though there's a place for that.
There's definitely a place for that.
But what I love about the cocktails, what I love about our particular niche in cocktail making is that we're not competing necessarily with like the Dale DeGroffs and, you know, the very, very serious, like tight buttoned vest bow tie dudes, but we're kind of taking a culinary approach to it and breaking as many rules as possible and just thinking like, drinking, it should be fun. Should be a relaxing. Yeah. You shouldn't get stressed out when you go to a bar being like, am I going to look like an idiot? And so I think the drinks that we make are really playful and fun, and they're things that you see and you want to experiment with, and you want to see if you can make it home. So I think that's what's fun for us, is that we really, really appreciate, you know, air quotes, mixology, and really fine drinks, and we write about them for a few publications and stuff, but we also really like just messing around. It's like Willy Wonka. Absolutely. We're like Willy Wonka if he had an adorable drinking problem. Right. That's what we're going for.
Yeah. That's awesome. I remember Del DeGroff's son, actually, like Leo DeGroff, he was telling me about working at a certain club, and they would have, like, in the earlier slow hours of the night, they would always have, like, this, like, kind of mini cocktail competition between the bartenders, where they would basically use, like, whatever they found around. Like, he said one time they did a muddled pizza cocktail.
Oh,
like,
dear.
You know, yeah, and, like, but that's so much fun, you know? And, like, if you can actually pull that off and make it taste good, that's really the trick.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun for us because we will do spins on... you know, like the Bee's Knees, we'll do it like a slight spin on that using like local honey and changing the citrus in it. So we'll do like simple things like that. But then, you know, we'll also, do some...
Like we have an apple pie drink that's like, got a slice of apple pie in it.
That was Food Network being like, here's the envelope, please push it.
Yeah, which so is rad that they have us do that. We have
carte blanche, yeah. But I mean, I think that, some of my... I really like kind of taking classics and messing around with them a little bit. And Definitely. Then also, like, we made a dessert drink for our last season of Cooking Channel's Classy Ladies, which is just about to launch. And it was a tahini and dark chocolate drink.
So good.
We took, like, tahini and put it in a shaker with, like, a chocolate liqueur, chocolate vodka and stuff, which we don't use vodka that much, but sometimes it's a nice neutral thing to play around with. And so you're sipping this, like, very dark chocolate but kind of nutty and sesame drink with a few little sesame seeds on top. And it's just an interesting, weird, nice drink where if you were going to have, again, like, have a dinner party, everyone can try it and be like, how about that?
Yeah, totally. And you know what? That's funny that you brought up sesame seeds, because we were just talking last week about, I had Aaron Polsky on from Netta, and he was talking about Asian ingredients and how they're kind of underutilized in drinks. And I love sesame in drinks. I think it's really great, and it never gets used. And
We actually put wasabi in a cocktail once, we're representing.
Yeah, you're all over it. Yeah. Like all these crazy mixologists with their vests and bow ties and stuff. They're so behind now. Allie and Georgia are breaking new ground,
okay.
Y'all.
Well, I think it's fun for us because we just happened to, like I said, like we happen to have come in at a time where we can kind of embrace what's happening, but also kind of break some rules, which is fine. I mean, and yeah, it's also weird to be a woman kind of in this scene. So we kind of took a different approach where we always dress really nice and nice old, you know, gowns that were owned by dead women. Mm-hmm. A lot of vintage dresses.
Well, they
weren't
dead when they owned them, but
No. That's so sad.
Yeah. I don't think you can own anything when you're dead.
No, that's
fine. I would beg to no, I wouldn't.
This is going to turn into
I'm an atheist.
Big philosophy broadcast. But yeah, it's like is kind of women on the scene. We just I don't know. We take it a lot less seriously, and we just make it like really approachable.
Yeah, and that's actually huge for this scene. Like the whole like mixology and cocktail bartending community and industry. It's predominantly like male driven. You know, and it has been for a long time. But it's really cool now that it's getting to the point where it's starting to get, you know, equalized, you know, especially with like great competitions like, you know, Speed Rack.
Oh yeah.
Speed Rack. We actually went to Zara Bates from Providence in Los Angeles through the first annual ladies bartender brunch at the Everly, and I went a couple weeks ago, and it was just like, you know, a whole room of the coolest mixologists, like coolest bartenders you've ever met, and they're all female and they're all fun and they all we all get along. We're not like catfighting or anything like that. It's just really cool little kind of scene of ladies.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's like so different from like what we were experiencing 5 years ago, where it's like the high school dance where like all the guys are on one side and then like the one girl's on the other side.
Yeah, like we're now we don't need you guys.
Yeah, totally.
We'll have our own little.
Yeah, just scene. Have your own dance.
Yeah,
for real.
Sadie Hawkins.
Get out of our treehouse, you guys. But no, it is. I think it's still a really fun and exciting time though. But we are definitely in the minority, I think. But you know, Georgia and I do like a lot of comedy shows too. So we're in this weird place where our videos are stupid, like in the best way, like
silly as
fuck. They open like the Food Network let me wear a pirate beard in one of them, and like they didn't even question me. It was like we turned in the script because we write everything too, and so we turned in the script and it was like opens and Ellie's wearing a pirate patch and a beard, and it was like we were waited to be like, No.
You can't do that.
But it was went through. So it's like we kind of like get to we get to use like a, just a lot of absurdist stuff and imagery in our videos.
Yeah,
and
this
so.
Cocktail is kind of the hero, but it's not this like the center of the whole video. It's a lot of fun and silliness and
That's the it's the whole like environment and the whole experience.
Yeah, and then you know, what you get out of it is a cocktail recipe that's
In the end. Cool. In the end we take that pirate beard and then it's like, okay, forget the pirate beard, but here's how you make a drink.
Awesome. Well, speaking of cocktail recipes, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to continue talking about this. And I want to actually, I want to hear what your process is whenever you're writing a show. Because that's always really interesting to me, especially as someone who's always booking shows. So we'll be right back with Allie and Georgia.
She's dancing by herself. In a mother's summer dress. Oh, kid, she doesn't need your help. She studied art in Spain. Tall boys across her brain. Yeah, tall boys, men, they'll do anything. They sat her in the shade, threw her a parade. All lined up, marching back and forth all day. She's boy crazy. Strikes a puissant. Oh, kid, they're playing it all night long. And then she takes you by the hand. Cause she's young but understands the tall dreams inside every man. And I bet she's out there still, tapping at your windowsill. She'll keep you up all night. It's a God-given skill. She's boy crazy. She's boy. She's boy crazy. She's boy crazy. And she's coming for you.
White Oak Pastures is a 146-year-old multi-generational family farm that works in cooperation with nature to produce artisan meat that is safe, healthy, nutritious, and good to eat. Without fail, we ensure that our production practices are economically practical, ecologically sustainable, and that the animals are always humanely treated. We never falter in our determination to conduct our business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. In the studio today, we have the lovely Allie and Georgia from multiple facets of basic awesomeness around the culinary and cocktail world. You can check out their stuff online. You can definitely check out the shorts from Cocktails with Allie and Georgia. You can check out Classy Ladies with Allie and Georgia on cookingchanneltv.com.
That's it.
Right? And then also the Slumber Party with Allie and Georgia on podcast. Before the break, we were talking about their particular style of not necessarily getting too serious about cocktails and letting that become a bummer. It's all about the experience and having a good time with it, and that's the whole reason why we're hanging out having drinks right now, too. We're having a good time.
We sure are.
And that's what it should be all about. And so, with that being said, it looks like you've got something you're whipping up right there.
We are going to make you a cocktail, and it is from our new season of drink or of Classy Ladies Valley in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Classy Ladies, we basically take a culinary class out in the field and then come back to our wacky like kitchen.
It's kind of like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, it's like if Miss Yvonne had a cocktail show. Yeah. That's basically what our show.
And so we also are really big fans of bad puns. And so
it's great.
Well, this is from the hot dog episode of Classy Ladies. First of all, we had a hot dog eating contest.
If you need to see George and I both eating from the ass end of a hot dog together, go to cookingchannel.com.
Which you obviously need. Like it's a bucket list thing, right?
Yeah. So the hot dog episode, check. George and I are both eating from a hot dog. We have a hot dog eating contest. And then
My pin go?
Exactly. Yeah, you want to note that.
Innuendos are...
I'm going to write it right under this part.
Then we tried to decide what would pair best with like a really good hot dog. And we just added a beer cocktail.
Cocktail.
Of course.
And so we named this one... Beerly Legal.
Because we
love bad sexual puns. So Beerly Legal is the name of this. So get it in your mouth. And it's a really... We also chose this one to do for you because we literally just landed. And so we're like, what has the fewest amount of ingredients?
Right. What do we not need to infuse or light on fire?
And it looks like it's going to be kind of breakfasty, as it turns out.
Sure.
A little bit. It's kind of like a bitter mimosa, but with beer. And so it's really, really easy.
A manmosa?
It's a manmosa.
And it's a good summer drink too.
So George, you want to say what we're putting in this?
Okay, so we're starting with she's going to start with Aperol. We're going to add about an ounce of that into each mason jar. You have to make this look really hipster and kitschy or else it's not a good drink anymore. So we're putting this into a mason jar.
Aperol.
We are at Roberta's.
We've hit all the requirements.
Yeah. And then we're going to add some
mason jar.
You want to add tangerine juice, like another ounce of tangerine juice. We're adding orange juice because, like we said, we just got off of a flight and there's no tangerine juice to be had in Brooklyn, it turns out.
Yeah. You guys are on the other side of the world right
now. Yeah. Hey, we get anything we want in LA, but not in New York. And then we're going to add some light beer to that. We're going to add like a Tecate or a Modelo or something along those lines. Just right on top. And you have the sippinest summer cocktail. We actually, when we made this drink, because it was for the beer episode, we were going to make a it was for the hot dog episode. We were going
to
make
Can we pause for a moment?
Yeah.
And let me digest what you're about to divulge.
Oh, should I not do this? Okay, it's going to take away all our credibility. But we didn't actually do this, so it's okay.
I just want to say at this stage of revelation that George is about to make is one of the most central parts of our cocktail series is that we have fun together and that we don't care about anything.
And we do weird stuff. So thank you, Allie. And we almost made a hot dog straw. And you do it's really hard. You take a straw and you put it through a hot dog and you drink out of it. And we're like, can we get away with that?
So when George and I are developing recipes, we get a bunch of ingredients. We probably go through like, I don't know, at least 6 or 7 iterations before we get something we start to like. Sometimes we'll have friends over who will help us sip them and be like, I like this one, I like this one. But we were like, what if we made, because this is a hot dog episode, what if we make a hot dog straw? So the two of us are in my apartment.
I love this idea.
Trying to bore through a hot dog with a straw.
It's like that should be our TV show is us trying to make cocktails. No.
I just want to say that we succeeded.
We did.
And it worked.
And it looked so disgusting.
Very, very pornographic.
Yeah.
Really, really hard to look at, but it was like one of the most hilarious like drink trials.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it was not pretty, and so we
stir that around a little
we
bit.
Didn't do it.
We didn't do it. It was a little bit like it was a little NC-17. It was a little NC-17 for Cooking Channel,
which is weird because we get away with so much stuff for Cooking Channel that like to not get away with something means we cross the line. Like we have Hitler jokes in some of our like videos,
and which is fine. George is Jewish. We can get away with that. We made some serious Pope jokes in an Easter episode we did called Peeping It Real.
We lit a peep on fire like an absinthe sugar cube.
Yeah, like the Bohemian method of an absinthe drink, which is already blasphemous in the cocktail community. But then when you add Pope jokes on top of that, and like sacrifice a peep, like things get offensive, and they just kind of let us get away with it because we wear lovely dresses and we have shiny brooches. And
cheers to Beerly Legal.
Yeah, Beerly Legal.
Beerly to being legal. Beerly Legal. Sure you are, but yeah, it's my ideas for cocktail drinking should be like, does it taste good?
That's really great.
You like it?
I'm glad you like it. It's refreshing. I'm so glad. It's great to wake up to.
What if you spit it all over the microphone and you hated it?
Jack would kill me. He's shaking his head yes.
We have a drink for you, Jack. But no, I feel like drinks should be, do they taste good? Do they get you at least mildly buzzed? And do you want to drink it? Are you curious about it? Like, those three things, fine. Like, I think you're good. Like, I don't think people should be too snobby about it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think a lot of the, you know, a lot of the bartending community, like the cocktail bartending community, gets kind of a bad rap. And we talk about this a lot on the show with the different guests that come on that are bartenders. We talk about like what we actually like to drink, like when we're not working.
Totally.
And it's usually like what you guys have in front of
me. It's like whiskey.
Beer, Fernet, or whiskey.
Yeah.
And, you know, having fun with it. It's like
that's
sabering
so
bottles of champagne and like, you know, being, having fun and being done with it. And like, you know, that's what it's all about. And, you know, but like, you sometimes like you kind of like talk about your drinks at, like before, like you were telling us that they're silly and fun, but like when we have one like this, like the Beerly Legal, it's really refreshing and it's great tasting, and I want to have another one after this.
Isn't that nice?
It's like, it's,
I'll probably have one with Jack after you guys leave.
There's one for Doug here, but it's sweet and it's a little bitter and it's fizzy and refreshing. So when we're doing these, when we're writing these things, we also want the drink to be good. And the other thing that's really hilarious, and a lot of bartenders don't have to deal with this, all of our recipes get sent into the Food Network Test Kitchen and they get tested by professionals that we've never seen face to face. So you can't send in a recipe that's not good, because then a bunch of people on Food Network sit around and like scratch their chins
and
about
like,
it.
So these girls don't know what they're doing. Like, if we did something, you know, we did an avocado drink and it was like the first five that we tried were terrible.
Yeah, until we figured out exactly like how to do it and what viscosity to do, and like how can you like, we did a beet drink that involves like literally a blended beet and like ginger infused gin and lemon juice, and it's really great. But you know that people are going to be testing this somewhere in a huge building, you know, above Chelsea Market in New York, and you're like, okay, well, this has to be actually good. So it's fun for us to
we want to have fun and be silly and joke around and stuff, but we also don't want to, you know, we don't want it to be a farce. We don't want to make terrible cocktails.
Well,
no one's
on that note, you know, we just we saw each other about a month ago at Tales of the Cocktail. Yep. That was your first time to go. And what were some of the things you took away from that? I mean, like, that's a very serious cocktail conference, you know?
Yeah.
I took away a lot of business cards and headaches.
And free teeny tiny bottles of booze.
No, you know what I loved about Tales is it was kind of like a reunion of people you've never met. So it's like all these people that you've heard of and you've read about and I've heard on this podcast, I've read on blogs, and it was like, oh, you don't know me, but I know you. So it was like, I think that was great. But
we met Dale DeGroff. That was pretty...
He's the greatest.
Amazing.
I don't think he liked that I dropped to my knees and started weeping. I don't think he liked that.
Oh, I just hit my head.
No,
I'm sure he did.
No, but I think... I mean, it's really interesting, though, to meet so many people that are trying so many different things. And I do think, though... I mean, I love it when people can kind of relax a little bit. Like, at Tales, everyone is relaxed and they're having fun and they're drunk and they're shaking hands and stuff. And so it's not like... it's not very stodgy.
It's almost like camp for bartenders.
And it's just, I always say, yeah, exactly. It's like summer camp for bartenders.
And it feels cool to be in this like community of people who are kind of all trying to do the same thing, which is like legitimize this, like, you know, these cocktails that are old and interesting and trying to do a new spin on them. It's cool to be around people who have the same ideas that you do.
Yeah.
So I love that about Tales. It's like you go to this, you know, party and all these people have a great recipe for, you know, some cocktail that you've never had before and know how to make the original really, really well. And how nerdy is it? It's almost like a comic book convention.
I was going to say, it's like a big Star Trek convention, but everyone cares about
Bar Trek.
Everyone's an alcoholic.
Bar Trek convention.
Bar Trek. It is. There's a bunch of, it's so like nerdy. It reminds me of Revelation. I used to be in the Latin club in high school. I was a virgin, and I was like in AP Latin, and you'd go to conventions and everyone would be wearing a toga and they'd talk about like,
I'm
you
one
know
of you.
Dead language. And but it kind of reminds me of that, because there's like nothing that you can't talk about with someone there that they're not like, ugh, this is over my head, I don't care about, you know what I mean? So I think
that's,
it's
so true.
I think it's kind of interesting, and to get different people's opinions on things, and you know, I think that's great. I mean, one thing that I love about what we do is that we're and I don't know about other bartenders and stuff, but we're always learning. I'm always trying new things.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's great. I think it's really great to look back on what you didn't know 4 months ago and be like, I know so much more about this now. And I think that's kind of cool about getting together with a lot of bartenders.
Absolutely. And it's been so cool getting to know the two of you over the summer. This is the third time we've gotten to hang out.
I know. And you have a new tattoo every time I see you. Can I tell you? Can I just tell your audience?
Probably not.
Oh, no. Like Damon is awesome, and he has like a Fernet tattoo like all over his chest. He's like he's hardcore. But when we were at Tails in New Orleans, in the middle of One Eye Jack's at the employees only party, he pulled down his trousers to show an entire room full of people his new Beer Panther tattoo on his leg, and it was like one of the more exhilarating moments of Tails because it was like pure unbridled pride and joy.
That's how we roll.
That's basically Tails in a nutshell. That's pull down your pants and show someone your new tattoo in the middle of the bar.
Yeah, it's like
Tails.
A Ween song.
I love it.
Totally. Well, you know, like I was saying, it's been really awesome to get to hang out with you, especially at Tails. And here this time, I know you're only in town for a couple of days and you're very busy shooting a show. But yeah, it's been really great, especially like over the past three times that I've gotten to hang out with you, your outlook seems to have changed, like, as you've been exposed to a lot of different kneecaps with Beer Panther
tattoos. Exposed to a lot,
but a lot of new like cocktail and spirits industry. But like a lot of like new ideas and a lot of old ideas, and it's cool that you're growing into this scene more. Like obviously you're still having fun with it, and mm-hmm. that's great. And it's always fun to see someone learn more and like to learn with them too. And you know, it's funny because on this show a lot of times like we end up the show talking about like I'll always ask the guests, you know, like what their favorite thing to drink is when they're just chilling out, but you know what, you guys are steadily chilling out and and that's really great. So I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and give us the quick details on where we can find all of the information.
Well, you can find our second season of Classy Ladies with Allie and Georgia is coming out now. And you can find it on cookingchanneltv.com and just look up Classy Ladies.
You can also go on YouTube. They've started to putting them out on YouTube every, I think, Thursday. So just type in Classy Ladies on YouTube and you can find our episodes there. We're also at allieandgeorgia.com, A-L-I-E and Georgia.com. We're on Twitter.
We're totally on Twitter, Allie and Georgia. And we have a new podcast, Slumber Party with Allie and Georgia.
It's on iTunes. So listen to it. Rate it. I make a pillow fort in my living room, and then we have a guest on in their pajamas, and we drink wine spritzers and cocktails and talk about stupid stuff.
It's awesome.
It's great.
I'm glad that you stole that from my apartment. Just kidding.
You're coming over. You're coming to California.
I will come out and definitely be on the show.
Do it.
So thank you again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a long time in the making over the summer, so I'm glad we finally get to do it.
Of course.
And we'll have to have you on next time you're in town.
Totally.
Definitely. Later. Bottoms up, darling.
All right.
Shout
cheers.
Out to the guy who brought me a shot of tequila.
Oh, Tony. Thanks, Tony.
Applause.
All right. That's it for today. And thank you again. And you can check out Allie and Georgia all over the place by Googling Classy Ladies.
Hey.
All right. We'll see you next week on The Speakeasy.
Bye.
Cheers.
Oh, man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
That cat is high. Look at that look in his eye.